Well, today we have a very short gospel. It's just a few verses from St. Luke chapter 8, verses 19 through 21. But even in those few sentences, there are two topics that can be very confusing for us as Catholics, because these passages, these verses are often used against the church to say that Mary had other children or that Mary was not so special to Christ in the way he responded. So let's take a look at these few verses and give the Catholic answer for them, the Catholic apologetics. It says, "The mother of Jesus and his brothers came to him, but were unable to see him because of the crowd." So who are these brothers of Jesus? Many of our Protestant friends will say, well, that proves that Mary had other children. And you Catholics must be wrong because you teach that Mary was always a virgin before, during, and after the birth of Christ. And you Catholics say that Mary had no other children, and yet the Bible says that Mary had other children. Therefore, the church is wrong, and the Catholic Church is wrong because she is not ever virgin if she had other children. Well, how do you answer that? Well, first you say that in Aramaic, the word brother, which is used here, also included cousins, relatives, and other members of one's family, and uncles and nephews. So the word brother here does not indicate that it came from the same mother. And then what you want to do is show other places in Scripture where Jesus is always called the Son of Mary, or the son of the carpenter. He's never called one of the children of Mary or one of the sons of Joseph. He's always called the son, singular. And we know at the foot of the cross, he had to entrust his mother to John the Apostle. If he had a brother would have had to take care of the mother according to Jewish law. And nowhere does the Bible ever say that these were children of Mary. It always says she only had one son, and that was Jesus Christ. The brothers here indicate other relatives, cousins, nephews, etc. So that's the first point that they bring up in this sentence. And then the second point that they bring up in this few sentences that because of Jesus' response, that he doesn't really honor his mother. And they say, you Catholics give Mary so much honor. You build churches like the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception or St. Mary Major in Rome or basilicas in Mary's honor, and yet it looks like Jesus is downgrading his Blessed Mother because he says, who are my mother? Who are my brothers? So how do we respond to that? Well, Jesus says, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and act upon it. Remember that Jesus Christ is God, and he's the one who gave us the commandments. So one of those commandments is, honor your father and your mother. Could Jesus ever break a commandment? Of course not. Jesus had to honor his mother. He's the perfect son, so he honored her all the time and everywhere and perfectly. So Jesus fulfilled the commandment. So even by saying this, he is honoring his mother, because she was twofold his mother, the mother physically, but even more importantly, his mother spiritually, because she did the will of God. So ask your Protestant friends, did Mary do God's will? And they have to say yes. And then you say, well, this is actually a compliment to his Blessed Mother, because she gave birth to him physically, and that was a great blessing and a great privilege to be the mother of the Messiah, the mother of God. But the greatest thing was that she did the will of God in her life. So St. Augustine says she was twofold the mother of Jesus, physically and also spiritually. The point that the Lord is making here is don't be upset that you're not related to Christ physically. Don't be upset that you're not his physical mother or brother or sister. What's most important is when you do God's will, you become spiritually a brother of Christ, a sister of Christ, a mother of Christ. That's what he is getting at when he says this. Vatican II says, in the course of her son's preaching, she received the words whereby, in extolling a kingdom beyond the concerns of ties of flesh and blood, he declared blessed those who heard and kept the word of God, as Mary had faithfully done. In Luke it says, Mary said, be it done to me according to thy word. And she said, I am the handmaid of the Lord. So Mary perfectly did the will of God. It says Mary treasured all these things in her heart. So Mary received the word of God and did the will of God more perfectly than any other human being. So again, this is not a downgrading or criticism of his Blessed Mother. And lastly, here's a great quote from St. Thomas Aquinas in his commentary on St. Matthew. And the Lord is encouraging us because it says, we can share his life more intimately than even if we were a member of his family. St. Thomas Aquinas explains that Christ has an eternal generation and a generation in time, and he gives preference to the former. Those who do the will of the Father reach him by heavenly generation. Everyone who does the will of the Father, that is to say, who obeys him, is a brother or sister of Christ, because he is like him who fulfilled the will of his Father. But he who not only obeys but converts others, begets Christ in them, and thus becomes like the mother of Christ. What a beautiful thought that is. So the main thing to remember is that Jesus is saying, don't be upset, don't be concerned that you're not physically related to me as a cousin or relative or brother or sister. That's not important. What's important, if you really want to be part of my family, do God's will in your life. Be a devout Christian, and then you can truly be his brother, his sister, his mother. And I love what Thomas Aquinas says, is that when you help convert souls and get people baptized and come back to confession and back to the sacraments, you beget Christ within their soul, so you become like our Blessed Mother. She begot Christ in her womb. You, as an apostle, as an evangelist, if you help to beget the image of Christ in other people, you become most like our Blessed Mother.